afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaskan Gold Trails. This is Lori Backus sitting in for Jim Adana, who is still out on the Happy Trail visiting untold parts of the country. He'll be back with us next week, though, or at least we're expecting him to. I hope he hears this and is on his way home, because we miss him very much. I have a guest in the studio this afternoon, and his name is Roger McPherson, and he's a student at the UAF Mining Extension Program. If you'd like to call and join us in the conversation, we're going to be talking about Alaskan gold right here on KFAR. The number to call is 479-8255. That's 479-TALK. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska. It's past, present, and future. But more specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, the controversial present, and the mysterious future. Good afternoon, Roger. I'm glad you could make it today.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Lori, with this beautiful view out the window at Esther Dome, which has got a great history all of its own.
It does. It's really a nice view from up here. Every once in a while, though, a plane will take off from the airport, and it looks almost as if it's going to come right through the window at us.
Well, it's nice because I can look at all the mines up there. That's what I like about this particular viewpoint.
Uh-huh.
A lot of money is being pulled out of there right now.
Do you have any interest in those mines out there?
Well, it's nice to follow the development of the hard rock mine up there, the Grant Mine. Mm-hmm. It's a $10 million situation there, and they're operating now. And I'm sure they employ a good number of people, too. And there's also an open pit up there that's doing a new leaching process, which can actually make money in the summertime, even though they can't work in the winter because it's too mm-hmm. cold. They're making money out of an open pit.
So there's gold mining going on all around us right here in Fairbanks in the area. Well, Roger, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a full-time prospector at this point, which means I'm unemployed primarily. And I think it's been a great thing for my wintertime, because wintertimes I get a chance to just do a lot of reading and get excited about the summertime coming up. And
mm-hmm.
anyone, I think, likes to have something to do in the wintertime, so
sure.
That's what I've been doing most of my time, is just reading about the old stories and how people found gold in this area.
Mm-hmm. And that can help you out in the summertime, get some information on the background of mining and what's been happening down through the years. What did you do prior to becoming a student at the UAF?
Well, I am a teacher. I've taught post-secondary and high school levels, and I enjoy teaching history of Alaska and Alaska Native culture and various land issues that have been facing Alaska recently. So I've had a chance to really follow the history. We've been making a lot of history in Alaska, and it's been nice to be here while it's been being made.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of gold mining in Alaska and how it got its start?
Well, it's kind of a straight line, actually. It goes from Juneau back in the 1880s, and from there it spread out to Dawson, of course, which was around 1898. And right from there it went down to Yukon to Nome, which was around 1900.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Nome was Fairbanks, 1902. And the last big gold rush was the Iditarod rush in 1909, 1910.
Mm-hmm.
So people really just spread right through the state in a matter of 20 years and
mm-hmm.
discovered most of the main areas, which are still being developed today.
Now, you also have quite a bit of knowledge on the natives of Alaska. How do they fit into the picture of Alaskan gold? Have they had, let's say at the beginning when people started prospecting and mining gold in Alaska, did they find that the natives were already doing a little bit of that themselves?
Actually, no, but the first geological explorations in 1898, they were helped out quite a bit. They were starving at points, and the native people often would help those early explorers who were making maps that the miners used and to distribute to other people and to figure out where to go. So the natives mostly made the trails first, and then the miners were able to utilize those trails and stop in the villages and get some food and get some clothing and
mm-hmm.
get warmed up and take off again, actually.
So they gave a lot of support to the people that were up here looking for gold.
Interestingly, that's true. And the Fairbanks area particularly was known for its fierce native people, the Tanana Athabascans. But when the miners came in here, they really found a good reception and a lot of help. In fact, Felix Pedro, who found the gold in this area, helped the native family when he first arrived. There was apparently a sick child in the family, and he helped them a little bit. And so you can see there was a good relationship between the early miners and the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And today there's some Indians that aren't mining, as a matter of fact. Bill Carlo, and this who lives here, is a miner in the Rampart area, and he's Alaska native in his background.
Mm-hmm. Well, what made you decide to start looking into mining here in Alaska, having a teaching background on the history? How did that foster your idea of becoming a student at the UAF Mining Extension?
Well, naturally, I was studying the land issues and how Alaskan Native lands are being settled also, and I figured that things were getting decided that you could figure out where to go and not step on someone's feet.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, as things were settled, like the Native claims were settled in 1971, and then the Alaska National Interest Lands Act was settled in 1982, so we had all of our lands that were going to be withheld from mining activities defined very well. And so early 1980s is when I got involved. I started thinking that I should start looking around, because now I knew where the state lands were located and where the open federal lands were located and where the parks were that I didn't want to go into, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was a good time for me to start practicing what I was teaching, because I was teaching about all these land situations, but I really felt I didn't know enough in the practical sense.
Mm-hmm.
So as I got my feet wet, I learned I was teaching a few wrong things, too.
Well, how did you get your start then? Did you have somebody help you find out what kind of equipment you needed and where you should go especially?
Well, that's where education comes in, of course, and that's where the Mining Extension Program certainly is invaluable to me. I was stumbling around just on basically on my own high school geology classes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And as it opened up to me, this economic geology, then I really got interested, because economic geology is something they never taught me back in high school. And when I realized that there was a reason for where these mineral deposits were formed, then that's when I started feeling I better get myself more education
mm-hmm.
and put it together.
All right, why don't we take a minute to thank one of our sponsors, Oxford Assaying and Refining. Where do miners sell their gold? Everyone knows they sell it to the precious metal peoples. Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street, and in addition, Oxford also has some fascinating precious metal gift and investment ideas. These include sending gifts of silver, and listen to this, folks, the silver Alaskan coin and the Oxford Alaska bar. These 1 ounce pure silver pieces are a unique way to share Alaska with friends and family for under $10 each. And here's a super idea. 1 ounce pure silver rounds, priced at only 95 cents over the daily quote. The 1987 American Gold Eagles are now available with four sizes to choose from, starting at $65 for the 1/10 ounce coin and a 14-karat gold bezel with a chain, and you have the perfect gift for that someone special. Gold coins and ingots from around the world, available in all sizes starting at $25 a piece. And don't forget, genuine Alaskan gold nuggets are truly the Alaskan gift. Stop by and view their fine selection starting at just $28.50. Give gifts of lasting value that will be long remembered. Give gold and silver, now available from your precious metal peoples. Oxford Assaying and Refining at 208 Wendell Street. That's Oxford Assaying and Refining. Give them a call at 456-3967. And don't forget their special precious metal quote line. That's 452-7858 for daily prices on gold, silver, and platinum. The quote line once again is 452-7858. Another sponsor of Alaskan Gold Trails and a longtime sponsor is B&L Pawn Shop. At the corner of Gaffney and Cushman, it's the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. Now, folks, that's an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. Just to give you an idea of what they have in the store, let me list some items. There's a lot of jewelry. There's clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Lori sitting in for Jim on Alaskan Gold Trails, she'll sweeten it even more. If your money's a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn at 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier. It's attached, however. But why don't you ask, Killer? You never know what's going to happen down there at B&L Pond. That's B&L Pond at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman. Their number to call is 452-6491. They're open from 9 to 7 Monday through Friday and 9 to 5 on Saturday and 12 to 5 on Sunday. Remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails and she'll sweeten the deal. Once again, I'd like to remind the listeners that the number to call is 479-8255. That's 479-TALK. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, my name is Lori Backus and I'm sitting in for Jim Madonna. My guest in the studio this afternoon is Roger McPherson, and he's a student in the UAF Mining Extension Program at the university. He's got some background in teaching Alaskan history. I think the two go very well together. What is going on right now in the state of Alaska as far as gold mining? What are some of the projects?
That's a good question. Actually, we're in the wintertime now, but hard rock mining goes on all year round, and so underground mining, which is taking place on Astor Dome area, is going on right now. But the placer mining industry in the wintertime shuts down, so most people are doing their permits right now and getting their plans and hiring new people for the coming season. But there are hard rock mines in southeast Alaska, one near Juneau that's been employing quite a few people right now, and Juneau is looking up because of the economy there. Mm-hmm. It's right now the workers have to live on the site, but they hope to have a little ferry system going so people can live in Juneau and work in the mine. And it's a round-the-clock situation there, and it's a, I'm not quite sure of the minerals. It's a combination of minerals. Gold, I think, and is one of those minerals.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, Fairbanks is known for its placer activity, so we don't have that much here. The news, of course, is up in northwest Alaska with the large lead-zinc mine up there with Red Dog, which is employing people on road construction and site preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be a 20-year situation coming up here. But that's a lot of heavy equipment people and open-pit mine.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the different techniques? Now, you've mentioned placer mining and hard rock mining and open pit mining. For those of us who are not that familiar with how gold is brought out of the ground and into our hands, what are some of these techniques, and could you describe them a little bit?
Well, they're all pretty detailed, and I'm not quite a miner myself, so if anyone would like to call up and correct me, I'd love it. There's a lot of people with experience in these different areas here. Placer mining, of course, is when you're finding a creek bed that's got a pay streak. Most people come to Fairbanks in the summer as tourists. They want to take a gold pan out there and find something, but the old creeks that have the gold in them are buried very deeply under a frozen ground. The modern creeks are way up on top of the ground, and they don't have much gold in them at all, so it's hard to tell someone who comes here to look for gold that you can't find it too easily unless you go to Pedro Monument, and then there's a site there that's open for people. But the there's a lot of hard work for placer miners here to get down below the to the older creek gravels.
Mm-hmm.
Then the hard rock miners, of course, and the open pit miners, those are two different areas too, but open pit is a very economical way to get down into things. So that's what's happening at that Astor Dome area, the open pit, because they can come down on some old load areas and just scoop up all the rock in the area, and then use a modern leaching system, which can take a very small amount of gold out of a large tonnage of rock.
Mm-hmm.
They do it a lot now in Nevada particularly. So that operation is, we'll see probably more of that because of the, you can get a very small amount of gold out of a large quantity of rock for a cheap price.
Mm-hmm.
$200 a ton is the usual cost, and with the price of gold around $400, and so you know you've got a profit.
Certainly. Are they able to get some gold out of the tailings that came from the old dredges?
Well, that's been, in the Black Hills of South Dakota particularly, that area there was quite a big area, but most of those tailings there were hard rock tailings. So any hard rock mine that made tailings after they'd processed them, they're going back now and just redoing all those old tailings, moving mountains of tailings, reprocessing them.
Mm-hmm.
But your placer tailings will probably have to be crushed, and so that would take some additional processing to get it down, open up the rock to let the fluids get through it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite interesting. New technologies are changing gold mining today.
It seems like it's always changing. We hear something new week to week in the newspaper, especially in the summertime, and in the winter it's not quite as apparent. What are some of the things going on at the University of Alaska with their mining extension program?
Well, right now we're only in the one class, which is interesting to me because it's called mining and milling. It gives me an introduction to crushing rock and grinding it down to a, like a flour. Well, it's almost as fine as flour, so that it could be either tabled, which is like a panning process to let release the heavy minerals, or then it could be put through a more complicated flotation process. But the mining and milling is sort of like the end of a sequence. And the sequence begins, like in March, there's a new class starting up called basic prospecting, which is how I started this whole sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And it meets like three times a week at nighttime for 3 hours. And I tell you, you meet a lot of neat people in those classes because you're sitting on a table with a partner, and Jim Madonna set up a box that he has all the chemicals, a little blowtorch, the test tubes, charcoal blocks, and he's got all these minerals too, of course, and he lets you test the minerals so that you can identify a mineral in the field with a very small amount of equipment and a little hydrochloric acid maybe and a little magnet, a little streak plate, which is a piece of porcelain.
Mm-hmm.
So that basic prospecting class will teach you everything you need to know, and it'll get you to know some people that are actually doing things too. A lot of miners come in there. In the old days in the university, that's how it used to be. The old guys, they'd sneak in the wintertime and take these mining extension classes. They didn't want their friends to know. They didn't know much about what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd hide, but they all had to pick up a new information as it came along. And so the university's been doing this since it began. It's always helped miners learn about new things that are happening. And in this basic prospecting, there's a section he deals with geochemical and the geophysical prospecting also. And so that'll be, it says it starts March 21st on my schedule, and I recommend it to anybody who wants to just have a good time, meet new people.
Now, in testing some of the minerals that you find in the ground, what are you looking for? Let's say if you optimally want to find gold, what are some of the minerals that gold would be found around in the ground?
Well, to give you an example of how I am, I used to come running into my house every couple weeks and say, I've got it, you know, and there was some kind of a gray streak on a rock. And
mm-hmm.
It took me a long time to learn I've got to be very methodical about it and test it out. And if it were silver, for example, you know there'd be gold perhaps in that vicinity.
Mm.
Usually for me it's manganese, which is worthless, and it looks like silver at certain times. So my friends have pretty much gotten used to my yelling and screaming, but I've gotten used to not yelling and screaming because of that class. And what you do is you just scientifically take your mineral, crush it up, test it, put a few liquids on it, or examine it through a microscope, and after you've given yourself enough time over it, then you really know what you got.
All right, so it sounds like gold and silver are generally found in the same areas?
Oh, yes, and it's a large subject, of course, and some of my favorite books are pretty thick on that subject. They're 2 inches thick sometimes. But here in Fairbanks, the associated minerals are antimony and arsenic and lead. So if you're driving on the highway and you see, like, in the tailing piles, a lot of red coloration, that's from the lead that oxidized and colored those rocks.
All right, we'll take another moment to thank another sponsor of Alaskan Gold Trails, is Larson's Jewelry. Now, when you think about jewelry, you think about quality. And, of course, that means Larson's Jewelry. When you want quality, you always think about Larson's Jewelry. Located at 4th and Noble, that's where you can rely on quality and originality. Whether you're looking for wedding rings and bands or a special piece for that special person, Larson's Jewelry has been in business since 1946, and they offer full jewelry and goldsmithing service. That means they can take raw gold and create rings, bracelets, necklaces, and earrings right on the spot and in a design of your choice. By the way, if you're calling in just now, I got you on hold. As soon as I'm done with this Larson's Jewelry information, I'll take you on the air. They can take raw gold and create rings, bracelets, necklaces, and earrings right on the spot in a design of your choice. Larson's can also add diamonds, rubies, sapphires, or other gemstones from their large inventory to your new or existing jewelry piece. They can repair and rebuild jewelry, including shanks, loops, and chains. It's a comfortable feeling when you know you're getting quality as well as value. At Larson's Jewelry, they have a fine selection of silver sets and crystal that's sure with time to become a family treasure. For that special gift that will be long remembered, they now have a new glass etching and engraving service. But listen, Larson's is more than a jewelry store. Their wide selection of beautiful trophies and plaques can be personalized to commemorate a special occasion or achievement. For your safety and peace of mind, Larson's also has a complete locksmithing service, including installation and servicing of all types of locks and safes. For anything you need, they have it on hand. Just remember Larson's can. Located at 4th and Noble, they're open 9 to 6 on weekdays and 9 to 5 Saturdays. Visit today or give them a call at 456-4141. That's Larson's Jewelry, located at the corner of 4th and Noble. The number again is 456-4141. All right, we'll go right to our caller. Good afternoon. You're on Alaskan Gold Trails.
Yes, I'd like to ask this gentleman a question.
All right.
Please go ahead.
Yes, you say you're a professor or student of Alaska history?
Yes, I am.
I'd like to ask you a question. Do you know where you could obtain to look at or to at least show some children in your neighborhood some old Alaska history videos? I know the university has a bunch of them, but you can't get them from the university, and your public library down here doesn't have any. And I just wondered if, and also in gold mining and
I'm afraid videos are a new thing for, very difficult to find anything new in that subject. Even films, you'll find that there are not many at all. There's an old film on the Chichagof mine around Juneau area.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that one, and old photographs and things, I'd recommend one book with some photographs and maps of this area. It's from the borough. You can get it at the borough offices called the Fairbanks Borough Historic Survey. It's a $5 book, and it has a lot of...
Has it been out for several years now?
Yes, it has.
I have that book.
Good. Well, that's about the only thing I know that's got pictures and things in it. In terms of movies, I'm afraid I have to draw a blank there.
Well, I'm sure there are some. I understand the university has quite a bit in their archives and what have you, but that's it.
Yes, I'm afraid aside from books and photographs, that's it. Yeah.
Well, it would certainly be interesting to be educational for these young people coming up. Particularly in the mining field, how the old-timers had to do it with a pick and a shovel and a rocker box.
That'd be a wonderful project to do, I believe, yes.
Yeah, and it would keep the children, interested and out of mischief.
Oh, they'd be so excited.
So I just wondered if you knew of any source that this could be obtained from outside the university, and as I said, forget it.
Right, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, thank you.
I'll tell you what, why don't we throw this out to the listeners? If you have any more information for this gal, I'm sure she's going to be listening to the rest of the program, give us a call and give us your input on where we can find some more information. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Hello, my darling.
Hello, my darling. How are you?
Pretty good.
I'm so glad you called.
I am, too. I'm just down in the dark room working away, and I just listening to your last caller.
Mm-hmm.
And I was planning on calling in today to tell those one or two people, anyway, that listen to my show tomorrow that I won't be on. I've been, as you probably know, preempted by the Olympics.
Yes.
So I'll be back on next Saturday. But anyhow...
But if you have to be preempted, what better to be preempted
the
by?
The Olympics. Well, I figure they're about the same, the Olympics and the Rothman computer talk show. But anyhow, seriously, on that last caller... There's something that the University of Alaska has to offer the people of Fairbanks that not many know about. There's university has a library system on file that's called Gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. And anybody who has a computer and a modem can dial into it. Now, this lady who just called does not have a computer and a modem. She can go up to the university and they use the... computer right there in the library to access the Gnosis system. Now, the Gnosis, you don't really pronounce the G, but I can't help it. It's like saying GNU.
GNU. Yes, what's GNU?
Well, anyhow, but when you access the Gnosis library system at the University of Alaska, you enter in any one of four major words, such as author, title, subject, or holdings. And, for example, if you enter in their subject, Alaska, and you can go into Alaskan history, and then just execute, and the program will display for you every single book that the University of Alaska Library has on that subject.
Great.
And then further, you can check the holdings of it on the computer, and this is free for anybody in the town to check. And as I say, if you don't own a computer, you can go up there and do it right at the library. And then you can say, where is, let's say it finds a book that you want to read. Well, you say, okay, I'd like to take it out. And then the computer tells you, well, there's only two copies of that. One are in Anchorage and one's in Juneau. You can specify you'd like to have them sent to Fairbanks so you can take them out. And it will do it. And then shortly thereafter, they'll be here. And then further, one little added point, your library card from the Noel Ween Library will let you take books out of the university.
Oh, great.
Okay, I just thought I'd throw that out. I got to run, I got to call my other line.
I hear the little blurb.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks so much for calling, Stu. That man is a wealth of information. He's very knowledgeable on a lot of subjects. We're going to have to take a break for a minute and hear from today's people. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
It was fun while it lasted, I suppose, but now that Carrie Lee has moved out of the Playboy Mansion, she and lawyer Marvin Mitchelson have slapped Hugh Hefner with a $5 million palimony suit. Don't you love the tagline Joan Rivers says in those new No Excuses Jeans ads? It was a toss-up between me and Lady Di. I guess they wanted a real princess. The best thing about the new action-packed adventure, Shoot to Kill, is Sidney Poitier, who finally comes back to the screen after some 10 years. Poitier admits all the action on this one made it a tough job.
I was in wonderful good shape before the movie started. I was a wreck by the time the picture was finished. It took me to now to have recuperated somewhat. I must say, Walt Disney gets his money's worth, boy.
Action lovers will get their money's worth on this one, too. But the new movie that's a must-see is Au Revoir Les Enfants, Louis Malle's instant classic about his childhood in World War II. Happy Valentine's Day. I'm Joanna Langfield.
Now Tidy Cat Brie is a hard-working cat box filler.
Oh, Tidy Cat Brie, when you go in. Get the odorizing better. Absorbs like a real go-getter. Leaves no dust, no tracks around. Tidy Cat 3.
I'm Ed Lowe. My Tidy Cat 3 is 99% dust-free, so it's cleaner and healthier for your cat. And with my Tidy Cat 3 cat box liners, you may never have to wash your cat box again.
Okay, Harry, we're rolling.
Folks, stores with so-so President's Day sales may resort to screaming.
Can't hear ya.
But Sears sale is so big, we don't need to scream. Right now, save $60 on a Kenmore heavy-duty, large-capacity, permanent press washer-dryer pair. Washer $249, dryer $199.
Louder, pal.
Washer $249, dryer $199. Save $60.
Louder.
Don't miss Sears' big President's Day sale.
You're screaming.
I am.
There's more for your life.
Sale ends Saturday.
Oh, boy.
At Sears.
Welcome back to Alaskan Gold Trails. This is Lori Backus sitting in for Jim Adonna. He's going to be back next week. We're thinking positive on this. My guest this afternoon is Jim McPherson, and he's a student of the UAF Mining Extension Program and is also a teacher of the history of Alaska. All right, what are some of the other classes that are going on up at the university?
Interesting to me is the big conflict we have between environmental people and miners, or prospectors in my case.
Mm-hmm.
And two of the classes I really enjoy are the geochemical and the geophysical prospecting, which are included in the basic prospecting or in depth in a later time. And I found that I can walk over the country now and not disturb it at all. So people say to me, you've got mining claims out here? And I say, yeah, and there's a deposit right there, but you wouldn't even know it to walk on it because it's deep under the ground and it's got certain magnetic properties or certain chemical properties which trigger out a reaction in the instruments that I can use now. So these kind of classes, I think, really help us preserve the environment at the same time as discover new deposits. So that where I work, where I live, it is my valley is really beautiful. It's got a beautiful trail through the center of it, and I've claimed most of the valley in my area, about a square mile. And the dog mushers and the skiers and snow machiners still go through there, and they wouldn't know that I'm there except for one or two claim notices.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to keep it that way too, because they're my neighbors.
Well, what are some of the most environmentally sound ways that you can get gold out of the ground?
Well, I can't emphasize enough working with your local agencies, government agencies, so that they can help you plan. In my case, for instance, there was a ski trail that's a really pretty ski trail, and I had to use it for bringing in heavy equipment to do exploration drilling.
Mm-hmm.
So working with a trail planner in the borough office, we were able to work out a route that wouldn't disturb the trail, but actually helped it so it's the bushes aren't quite killing you when you go through there on skis nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of it is working with local agencies or higher, like state or federal agencies. And they've got their techniques down to a T now. In fact, too much, of course, to some people. But if you're moving heavy equipment, you need to permit it and plan ahead. It costs $100 now to just have a mining permit every year. I've got to send in my plan. And they put it through all their agencies, Fish and Game, for instance, and they comment if it's going to hurt any animals.
Mm-hmm.
So the miner really works with a lot of agencies now and has to keep good relations, because otherwise they won't be able to operate in the next season.
Now, is this class going on right now?
Well, there are many different classes. We're talking mostly about a whole variety of classes.
Mm-hmm.
The one coming up will be this basic prospecting. And there is one, I noticed there's another series of classes I didn't mention yet that are TVC classes. They have a mining technology program, and one of their classes coming up is called Alaskan Ore Deposits. It's just a two-day class in April. And if you're interested in just what's happening in Alaska, that could be a lot of fun, too. It's a Saturday and a Sunday all day, I think. But Jim Madonna also teaches an ore deposits class in his university classes. So any way you look at it, you can find out about ore deposits. And it's a pretty interesting subject, because I never thought, looking at the ground around Fairbanks, there could be any minerals here at all.
Mm-hmm. Now, once again, where can we get a hold of someone if we'd like to hear more about the classes or possibly sign up to get involved in them?
There's always a person in the office at the university in the mornings from around 9 o'clock to 12, to 1 o'clock, and her phone number is 474-7702. Or you could just call the university, and they'll tell you the mining extension. They'll give you a number there. But either TVC or the university has an office with a person in charge. TVC has a central person that can tell you right away what's coming up, and the schedule's been printed for the springtime. Most of the classes really don't start until the weather gets better, so
mm-hmm.
you have a chance to plan ahead now and to like pick out a few interesting things. Jim Madonna usually teaches a gold prospecting class, which is a one-day field trip to different gold areas in this area, so you can learn how to gold pan and
mm-hmm.
how to walk around the country with your eyes open.
All right. Another sponsor of Alaskan Gold Trails is Arctic Springs. Now, Robert, Charlene, and James Johnson own and operate a family business right here in Fairbanks that's called Arctic Springs at 285 Alta Way. They started manufacturing leaf springs and U-bolts for all sizes and types of vehicles and heavy equipment several years ago. Because of their interest in developing a leaf spring manufacturing plant right here in Fairbanks, they became one of the first businesses to be awarded the use of the Made in Alaska logo for businesses using Alaskan products and labor. To give you an example of what they can do over there on Alta Way in their 6,000 square foot manufacturing plant, listen to this. They manufacture and recondition springs for snow machines, cars, trucks, heavy equipment, and get this, even aircraft. Springs can be re-arched and U-bolts cold bent to your specifications, and they can raise and lower your vehicle. Arctic Spring handles both standard and custom-made coil springs. Just look what they stock, a complete line of steel, brass, rubber, and Teflon bushings, torsion bar axles for auto trailers, snow machine trailers, and weasels. Finally, folks, they build trailers to your specifications, so bring in your blueprints or sketch. In addition, they have two huge 30-inch by 8-foot heat treatment ovens, which can accommodate just about any material that needs heat treating. That's Bob, Charlene, and James Johnson at Arctic Springs, located at 285 Alta Way. Give them a call at 451-8612. That's Arctic Springs at 451-8612. And whether it's an auto, light truck, motor home, or big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And that's not just my opinion, folks. Last year, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raven About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has two large shops and 8 mechanics on hand to serve you. With that much attention, you'll get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair, mount, and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's is a one-stop service center, and if you need an IM inspection, Gabe's has a no-pass, no-pay policy. That's right, if your car doesn't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. Gabe's also has a special deal for you folks who are getting your vehicles ready for winter. If you get an oil change, filter and lube or tune-up at Gabe's, you'll also get a free winterization inspection. It's a little late to be looking forward to winter right now, but the car still does need some attention. You want to be sure that everything is still operating smoothly, because it's only February, folks, and we could have a lot of cold weather ahead of us. This 30-minute inspection covers such items as heater, antifreeze, check the gearboxes, inspect the fan belts, battery, and all the fluid levels in your vehicle. Don't forget Gabe's Towing Service. He has 3 wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. With this icy weather, you might want to write that number down and put it in your glove box. That's 456-6156, Gabe's Truck and Auto. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, or give them a call at 456-6156. All right, getting back to my guest, Roger McPherson. Once again, he's a student at the UAF Mining Extension. He's learning about mining in Alaska, and he is currently a prospector, and like he said, in the wintertime, that means he's unemployed, but it does give you time to look into what's new,
what's coming,
some of the latest technology that will help you out this summer.
That's right, and there's a lot that's published by the state of Alaska, by the way, and they study the mines in the area, and they do publications for a dollar or two. So I often go to their office. It's above the old Bank of the North, now the new Alaska National Bank and Geiston University. The state of Alaska has an ongoing publication program, and I really enjoy looking at the maps and figuring out who has what claims where, so I know where not to go.
Uh-huh, that's helpful.
Yeah, research is fun, and I think there are a lot of books that are fun to read, too. If you like just reading books, I'd recommend Joanne Wold's book on the This Old House, which is about early-day Fairbanks, and her husband was a miner, a placer miner, who didn't strike it rich.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Joanne Wold's husband, but she was writing about the people in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned, the Borough Historic Survey is a wonderful book. If you like to have a picnic around Fairbanks Borough, I'd suggest picking up a copy of this. Then you can overlook some historic area like an old mining complex and know exactly what happened there and when it happened, or follow some of the old trails. They have the map of the old trails. And I'd also recommend Judge James Wickersham's book, Tales, Trails, and Trials. He came with the original gold rush to Fairbanks, with a dog team, of course, from the Circle area, and he's got a great description of coming into the new Fairbanks at that time and
mm-hmm.
coming through a blizzard and coming right down Pedro Dome with the dog team and hitting the bottom, and there was an old guy coming out of his old shaft with the gold in his hand, and he was just struck it rich. So
wow.
It's one of those things that makes the winter go by pretty fast.
Sounds like being in the right place at the right time for him.
Well, he was happy. Otherwise, he was going to have to go to Coldfoot and set up his judge operation up there, and if you know how Coldfoot is, you know that Fairbanks is much more, he was much happier with this decision to come here and set up court.
Once again, I'd like to remind everybody that with all the sponsors on Alaskan Gold Trails, they're the ones that make this show possible. If it weren't for our sponsors, such as Hector's Welding, it wouldn't be possible. Now, Hector's Welding is located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, and they've been serving Alaska for 40 years. Their 14,400 square foot shop is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. Listen to this list of services. They can replace dozer blade liners. They also rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks. They do heavy equipment repairs and modifications, and mining equipment fabrication is their specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, and screening plants. They also fabricate specialized riffles and punch plates. They have portable welding units for fast on-site repairs. Hector's fully equipped fabrication shop is ready to serve you, so bring out your ideas and blueprints. It's a well-known fact that anywhere in the interior where the big jobs are done, men in the field depend on Hector's for proven, rapid, reliable work. Rush jobs are no problem. Remember, Hector's Welding has been getting the job done and done right for 40 years. And now, an all-new service, Flocculence. Hector's is the gel log distributor. There's a free test kit that's available. All you have to do is stop out at Hector's and pick up the kit. Remember, it's free. Wherever Alaska miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment. Located again at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, and the phone number to call is 488-6432. And did you know it's Bonanza? Robbie at Tip Top Chevrolet says all 1987 trucks must go. They're having a giant year-end truck sale. For power, performance, and comfort, you can't beat a Chevrolet truck. The 6-year, 60,000-mile limited warranty is standard, so come on over, look them over, and take a test drive. No reasonable offer will be refused. That's Tip Top Chevrolet, and they have what you want, whether it's gas or diesel, two- or four-wheel drive, small, comfortable, and sporty, or a full-size work truck. Robbie is ready to deal. For the best selection and the best prices, stop in today at Tip Top Chevrolet at 1916 South Cushman. Listen to some of the components on these sale models. The S10 Blazers have a powerful 2.8-liter V6 with electronic fuel injection, and it has a very smooth ride with a fully independent front suspension that's standard. Bucket seats, in the front are also standard on the S10s. The S10 pickups have heavy-duty construction, a heavy-duty payload package, and fully independent front suspension. They have a hot wax coating on the entire frame that helps fight the effects of road salt and dirt. All right, getting back to my guest, once again, Roger McPherson. Well, why don't you tell us some stories? You've been a prospector for how many years now?
Oh, 5 or 6 years now. I'd like to mention one more thing about the university, which I think is pretty unique.
Okay.
If you're driving out the LA Highway, just as you get to the top of the grade there, you see a little road sign on the right that says Silver Fox Mine Road. And the university is lucky in that this mine was given to the university for teaching purposes. And so I've been in that mine a couple times. And that's an interesting thing for any student, I think, is to get hands-on work. So another, I think, aspect of both the TVC classes and the mining extension is that they take the students out to this hard rock mine. It's a tunnel that goes under the granite rock there, about 300 feet, maybe 500 feet deep. And then you get practice actually in working with the equipment underground there. There's an explosives class, which I'm taking currently. It'll help me to learn how to blast a tunnel in hard rock. So there are some really good things the university's been able to get that no other mining program probably has.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd recommend that just for the tour alone. There's often a tour of that mine as part of one of these classes. And I certainly enjoy the country around there. I've done a lot of walking around there because you can learn a lot about the important rocks or Fairbanks just by taking a picnic lunch and going around that area. In terms of discovery stories, this is a good area for discovery stories. The Esther Dome out here through the window reminds me of one, because there was a huge quartz boulder found near the top of that Esther Dome that was sprinkled full of gold. And no one could ever find the vein that thing came from, interestingly enough. So that's one of those stories that people should probably follow up in the future, is there was a vein large enough to create, it was about a 3 by 5 foot size chunk of quartz, and it was just full of gold.
So do you suppose a glacier dropped that off there on its way?
Well, this is unglaciated. This whole area never had any glaciers, which is rather unique, and it makes it a good challenge for someone, because this is the original ground that was formed back in the Cambrian times, which is 500 million years ago. So we're in a very unique environment for prospecting it. You won't find this in many places, and it's difficult, of course, but that means there's a lot there that no one could find because it's deeper, and it's been weathered, and it's not just sitting out like you find in the Southwest, mm-hmm. where things weather out and you can see exactly what's there, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's a good challenge, and I've liked it because you can't just take a pit anymore. You've got to take a sensitive instrument out there that can tell you what's down 100 to 200 feet. And so we're seeing, particularly in Canada, that's what's happening. The discovery mm-hmm. stories now are mostly how someone took an airplane and flew over an area with a magnetometer and found a huge new ore body. But it's not the old prospector story where he walked out there and scuffed his foot and there was mm-hmm. a chunk of gold on the ground. It's a business that you've got to have an education for.
Well, what are some of your own experiences in getting started with prospecting?
Well, because I was living here, I figured I'd start where I was living and mm-hmm. Looked in my own backyard first, and I found an outcrop of granite there that people had overlooked for about 80 years. And when you start this education system, you realize that any granite, you got to investigate very closely. That's what forms gold and other deposits.
Oh.
And so it was just about a mile away from the nearest road, and I figured that's a mile that probably not a lot of people never walked.
Mm-hmm.
So I started walking up there in snowshoes and took my dog team by there a few times, and I figured it looked interesting enough to really start looking at it closely. So I used a prospecting claim, which allows you to do four times the size of a regular claim. It's just a prospecting claim that's good for 1 year, and you can renew it if you find something that you think you should continue to look at. And after a couple of years of that, I said, yeah, this really looks like a good piece of rock here. Had some red streaks in it and all kinds of stuff. So I went to my state geologist, and he said, yeah, you got something there. And so I had it assayed, and a little bit of copper showed up, and a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So I got to work on it. It took me 5 years, and then I discovered that there was some magnetic properties in this area. So because of the magnetic properties, I'm not at the deposit. I'm only digging deeper to find out where it is. so I may not reach it by the time my money runs out, but I think it's been a very good education for me because I had something to work from rather than just looking at a textbook all my life.
Well, you learn a lot about the land that you live on.
That's right. It's important. It gives you more fun when you go out walking. I got tired of squirrels and grouse.
Mm-hmm.
I figured, okay, now I'll do rocks.
Sure.
Maybe next it'll be trees. I'm not sure.
Okay. Another one of the sponsors on this Alaskan Gold Trails program is George's Saw Shop. Hardworking miners need hardworking equipment, and you'll get the equipment and service you need right at George's Saw Shop, located at 520 Church Street, right next to the News Miner Building. One of the things that they have right there are repairs on space heaters. Now, a lot of us, if your heating system doesn't quite heat your whole house, if you have a little corner that gets a little drafty, no matter how high you turn up your heat, you might want to have a space heater in that area, and they will repair if you have problems with one. All types and sizes and all brands, such as Champion, Coring, Master Heater, and others. They have a complete line of parts in stock if you want to repair your own. Also, Georgia Saw Shop repairs gas and diesel generators of any size, and of course, stocks parts for them too. Do you need parts for an engine? Georgia Saw Shop has a complete line of parts for Briggs & Stratton, Tecumseh. Does that sound familiar to you? Did I say that right? Oh, he's nodding, yay. Wisconsin, Kohler, and others. Nearly any engine used around the home, farm, mine, or for industrial use. George's Saw Shop also sells replacement engines for all of the above. Chainsaws. We sell the best and service the rest. That's George's Saw Shop. Get a new Husqvarna, solo or pullin. During the month of January, I'm sorry, this is the month of February. You probably missed out on that, but they were having a Trapper special sale. All right, once again, that's George's Saw Shop. Bring in your chainsaw for a tune-up and cleaning, complete repair, and or sharpening of the chain. George's Saw Shop services all brands and carries bars, chains, and accessories to fit any chainsaw. For top quality service and equipment, visit the business you can depend on. Visit George's Saw Shop right next door to the News Miner Building. They're open 8:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and 9 to 1 on Saturday. If you have any questions, just call 452-2069 and ask for George or his lovely wife and partner, Barbara. That's 452-2069. We've got a call coming in. Good afternoon. You're on Gold Trails.
Good afternoon. I just thought I'd let you know that that is the famous Indian name, Tecumseh.
Tecumseh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean?
It's simply a person's name.
Oh, okay. Do you have any more background information on that?
Midwest Indians. I believe it was Shawnee, but I'm not absolutely positive of that. But he was a chief of one of the tribes in the Midwest, Tecumseh.
Oh, okay, Tecumseh. Well, I thank you so much for your call. And by the way, to let you know how much I appreciate your phone call, I'm going to give you a dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe.
Well, thank you.
Does that sound good?
Sure.
Okay, what's your name, sir?
Ross Nolan.
Ross Nolan. Okay, you can come on up to the station and pick up your certificate. We'll have one waiting for you.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay? Thanks a lot for calling.
Uh-huh.
All right, does everybody know where Laura's is? It's right across from the Daily News Miner, just down from Samson Hardware. She's got some real good food there. And she's more than happy to give dinner for two away to anybody that helps out poor Lori or Jim right here on the Alaskan Gold Trails program. Let me take a look here. We've got some more sponsors to talk about. One of the sponsors is K&K Recycling. Now, this is a very interesting business. If people are interested in new things that are happening in Alaska, K&K Recycling, I believe, is one of the fastest-growing businesses that I know of. Bernie Carl out there has got all kinds of ideas on how to help us learn to recycle the products that we're using now, some of the things that we probably would be normally throwing away. As long as you're mining these resources once, why toss them back in the dump and have to mine them again or let them go to the waste? This is K&K Recycling. They're located at 8.5 Mile on the old Richardson Highway, and they're the leader in recycling in the Pacific Northwest. Bernie Carl of K&K is a former miner and believes that our natural resources must be preserved. Bernie has appeared in many schools throughout the area to explain the value to school children on the benefits of conservation and recycling. If you have ferrous or non-ferrous materials, K K&K Recycling is ready to buy and pays cash on the spot. Come and visit K&K Recycling at 8.5 Mile on the old Richardson Highway and learn more about recycling. Call for daily quotes. That's K&K Recycling at 8.5 Mile on the old Richardson Highway. They're open from 8 to 5:30 Monday through Saturday, and that's their winter hours. In the summertime, they'll be extended a little bit more. The number to call if you have questions is 488-1409. We've got another call coming in. Good afternoon. You're on Gold Trails.
I'd like to agree with Mr. McPherson there. I've taken some of the courses at the university there, and it's, if anybody is interested as a hobby or even want to get professional about it, these classes they have at the university is just excellent. I've been interested in prospecting. I'm not a miner, but just prospecting, and I've been down to South America, Central America, and all over, the West Coast, Canada, and now I'm up here in Alaska. I'm still looking, but I got all of my information here in Alaska. If I had known that a long time ago, I'd probably been rich. So I agree with what he's saying, and the information that Mr. Madonna and the university has got together for just, people that are interested in that, that... I know on my first class he said, don't forget who your partner is, because one out of every 60 of my students become millionaires. Of course, that wasn't so, but it sure got everybody excited.
I bet it did.
I really appreciated it, and we did have a good time and met a bunch of great people here in the state. So.
Well, I thank you so much for your call.
Okay, thank you for your program.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Once again, Golden Nugget Taxi is a firm advocate of educated Alaska mining industry, and they fully support the placer miners in their effort to provide a stable, healthy industry for Fairbanks and interior Alaska. If you're looking for value in transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-TAXI. That's 451-8294. Golden Nugget Taxi, a sponsor of Alaskan Gold Trails. I'm sorry to say we've run out of time. We're heading into the news. I'd like to thank you, Roger McPherson, for coming on and being a guest on the Gold Tales program. We've learned a lot about what's going on in the UAF Mining Extension Program. This is Lori Backus sitting in for Jim Madonna. This is KFAR on your 660 AM dial, broadcasting to you from Fairbanks, Alaska. We're joining the news in progress.
But Haig did say a number of flattering things about Dole that will get a lot of media play, and that may register on some wavering voters here and elsewhere. Said Haig, Dole knows how to make government work. He has the strength to deal with Gorbachev. He has the ability to make tough decisions rather than just be there. Bush, said Haig, has just been there, period. Herbert Kaplow, ABC News, Manchester, New Hampshire.
Campaigning's been a real chore in New Hampshire today. Near blizzard conditions, parts of New England been hammered by a major snowstorm. I'll have more news after this.
Excuse me, are you going to eat your peanuts?
What?
Well, they're for Teddy, my grandson. Every time I fly, he wants my peanuts.
Oh,
so I
sure,
bring them.
Here you go.
Thank you. You must be very smart.
Excuse me?
I see you're reading the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, yeah, I get it every day.
Your mother must be very proud of you.
Well, I guess she is.
A young man like you on his way to the top reading the Wall Street Journal every single day.
Well, you know.
You must be extremely intelligent.
Actually, the Wall Street Journal is a lot of fun to read. There's lively articles in the media, the arts, world events.
Oh, my word.
See the front page, there's What's News.
Oh, my goodness.
All the news of the day condensed into two quick columns.
That must save you so much time.
Yes, it does.
A busy young man like you fighting your way up the corporate ladder.
Well, I guess.
Not like my son, Dennis. He isn't into business.
Oh, no?
No, no ambition, no drive.
What does he do for
a... He's a brain surgeon.
Oh, well, that's a very big...
I had such high hopes for him.
Yes, but you
but
see, being a...
Does he read the Wall Street Journal? No, he wants to play around with brains.
Oh, ma'am, see, that's a
very...
She's the Wall Street Journal, the daily diary of the American dream.
There has been a bumping incident in the Black Sea. The bumpers were Soviet warships. The bumpies were American warships. At the Pentagon, this is Navy Captain Jerry Flynn.
Both ships encountered very, very slight damage. Essentially, they were just grazed on the side. There were no personnel casualties reported, and the ships continued on their way to the east.
This is Sheila Cast. The two U.S. ships were in the Black Sea as part of a series of exercises approved by President Reagan. Maneuvers which the White House calls freedom of navigation exercises, arguing that unless the U.S. asserts its rights to navigate international waters, those rights will be blocked. Before he left the White House for a trip to the West Coast, the president was briefed about the Soviets' bumping response by his national security advisor, Lieutenant General Colin Powell. But when a reporter asked the president about it later, he shrugged off any comment. Sheila Cast, ABC News, with the president in Los Angeles.
More Palestinians shot and killed by Israeli troops in the West Bank. Two teenagers are dead. The soldiers said they fired in self-defense. Witnesses say Israeli troops broke into a hospital and beat four Arabs who were giving blood at the time. Word from Palm Springs, California, renowned composer Frederick Lowe, listed in fair condition after suffering a heart attack. Lowe is 86, teamed up with Alan Lerner on musicals like Camelot, My Fair Lady, and Brigadoon. Also from Palm Springs, a cute romantic story for Valentine's weekend. Yes, 27-year-old Darren Downing wanted to propose to his girlfriend in a very special way, so he spent $1,500 on a billboard. He put the question, "Will you marry me?" on that billboard, along with two empty boxes, yes or no. Well, today his girlfriend, Charis Romano, was hoisted up to the billboard where she painted an X in the yes box. As you might expect, Darren is very, very happy.
I didn't know what to expect. We basically did it for her, and this is what results were. We're happy with results. So am I. So as I look up there, there's an X in the yes box, so we're doing okay.
Isn't that sweet? Don't forget your Valentine this weekend. The U.S. trade deficit went down in December, second consecutive month it's dropped. Analysts say that bodes well for the nation's economy. Wall Street, the Dow closing up 22 points at 1983. This is ABC News.
Ready in the control room, Harry.
Folks, I don't have to scream, so you'll come to Sears' great President's Day sale, right?
More oomph, Harry.
Because when you hear, you can save 10 to 50% on all furniture and bedding.
Harry, that's oomph.
10 to 50% off all dining room sets, dinettes, bedroom suites, sofas, sleepers, chairs, recliners.
Louder.
And that it's Sears' biggest President's Day sale ever.
Go for it, pal.
You'll come running, right?